Now I'm going to go to the three-mile island question.
Fine.
And if you can, try to remember, with a lot of these questions, we're kind of asking how, if you remember back, how things were going there. Some of them are reflective, but a lot of them are how it evolved and so forth. Can you remember when you first heard about a problem at 3 Mile Island?
Yes, my husband called and informed the county some 2 minutes ahead of when the first official word came in.
So you heard from your husband. Did you know that there was a reactor there before this occurred?
Oh, sure.
How far is 3 Mile Island from us?
From Carlisle, from where I live?
Both.
Oh, let's see. I pay very little attention to mileage. I'm not one of those who does. I would say since I'm some 12 miles, I'd say Carlisle is 12 miles from my home, and I believe it's something like 16 or 17 from Hamden to Capitol Campus. We're about 25 miles from Carlisle, 25, 29.
You live in Hamden?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Now, what did you think about it at that point?
Which point?
Remember when you first heard about it?
It didn't surprise me. I was surprised that the first word would come from my husband rather than from some official source.
Uh-huh. Uh-huh.
That's the first thing that went through my mind.
Uh-huh. Did you feel initially that it was a serious situation?
I felt... it's one of those things, the only thing I can make a very subjective comment about it, and it's a little ism of mine, I felt like my antenna were up and quivering.
Okay.
And that it was something that we'd better pay attention to.
Okay. So, and the next question is, did you look for further information?
Yes, immediately.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Tom Blosser downstairs to see if anything would come in through civil defense.
Mm-hmm. Did you talk about it with friends at that point, or...?
No, I was up here. Yes, right away.
What did you talk about?
I just simply went out and made the announcement that there had been some sort of incident at 3 Mile Island. We weren't sure of the nature of it. We were going to be monitoring it. I was calling civil defense. If anything further developed, we might have a few overtime hours. Mm-hmm. I didn't know. And I, at that point, I'm sure from my demeanor, I was rather calm.
Okay.
About
in terms
it.
Of...
we often do this. That was not unusual.
Okay, this is
in other words, when we see something coming, I alert the office force immediately. Hey, you know, everybody get ready to go into high gear, whether it's over the election, whether it would be something of this nature.
So,
you know,
this
so we
time,
have done that.
Though not routine, a routine in terms of responding to something that
yes.
was sort of unusual.
The procedure of alerting the office staff that we might have some more work to do and in very short order was not unusual. No.
Then, were you worried about it at this point?
No.
Did that change?
Yes.
Can you remember when that might have changed? What got you more concerned than you were initially?
In terms of concern, I think what I felt most, particularly if we're talking about Thursday and Friday, was disgust. Discussed at those who were in positions of leadership within the state, within the NRC, at 3 Mile Island itself. I had the same feeling I'm sure many ordinary citizens had, is they don't have their act together.
Mm-hmm.
They're giving conflicting statements,
okay.
And that's dumb.
Mm-hmm. So you feel at this point, at least, they aren't functioning very well.
That's right.
Do you think they were in control of the situation?
Absolutely not.
No. How about the media? How do you figure they function?
I thought they were trying to do a hell of a job in trying to inform the people.
Mm-hmm.
If they made conflicting statements, it's because of what they were able to dig out.
What they were getting.
And I feel very strongly that maybe this is a Midwestern kind of thing. I have a hell of a lot of faith in just good old ordinary American citizens. I think that when they're given enough information, they tend to act very responsibly. There probably is no such thing as a national character. However, you know, over the course of time, now that I'm older, I've watched serious situation after serious situation develop in this country, and it seemed to me that when the public at large has enough information, they're okay.
Mm-hmm.
And I was pleased with the media. Some people were displeased, and they thought that they plumped it up, ballyhooed it. I didn't have that reaction. They were the, you could at least get the smorgasbord of information from the media, mm-hmm. and I liked that.
Mm-hmm. Was there anybody in particular? Well, now, then, over time, of course, things develop over there. Do you think they got better at this?
Yes, I think they probably realized, particularly that weekend, Saturday and Sunday, what their reaction on the public at large was.
Mm-hmm.
I still remember my feeling of disgust that they were not willing to trust the American people in terms of, you know, the general public. I felt that in the position I was in, I was privy to information. At least I felt like I was.
Sure.
That Joe Q. Average didn't have. I felt he should have it too.
Okay.
And if the media was providing that smorgasbord with their digging operations, I applauded.
Okay.
So my feelings of disgust remain throughout.
And that pretty much attaches itself to Metropolitan Medicine Company, for example. Can you talk about that a little bit?
What do you want to say? What do you want me to?
Well, what do you feel they were doing? Wow.
Trying to cover their ass.
Okay. So you didn't find them a trustworthy source?
Not at all. Just about as credible as the. Well, let's see. I'd say. The propaganda machine of an unfriendly country.
And what about the NRC?
I felt that there was some flapping around there, but they were. That's a terrible situation for those folks to be in. Hellishly responsible. They wanted to be so careful. Mixed with my disgust was feelings of pity for them,
mm-hmm.
that they had this tremendous weight of responsibility. People's lives, maybe for 20 years. And a huge chunk of central Pennsylvania might depend on what they did. And I felt for them.
Mm-hmm.
And well, there are all kinds of things that go through your mind. I'm a great advocate of detailed planning, and it did seem that some detailed planning had not gone on, or they wouldn't have been flapping around.
Okay. In other words, they weren't ready for it.
They weren't ready. I didn't feel.
What about state government?
Again, my feeling was is that it was overly cautious as far as the general public was concerned. And I realized there are, you don't want to panic people. But if you put people in a situation where rumor takes precedence over hard information, they will react on rumor.
Mm-hmm.
And the only way you get a rumor mill running, in other words, it was a difficult situation enough as it was. You get rumor mills running where you don't have hard information, where leadership does appear to be flapping around, where there is inherent danger in the situation itself,
mm-hmm.
As there was. And I felt they were really cautious in terms of the public.
How about federal government apart from rumors? How do you feel they were handling?
Again, my feeling was is that... the hierarchy of leadership had not been established in a situation like this. Some of the flapping was that various folks simply didn't know whose role was what and who took precedence over whom,
mm-hmm.
and who had the final say.
Mm-hmm.
And my impression was they were trying like hell to establish that. I did give them credit for that.
Mm-hmm.
Again, some planning and an SOP and something like this would have been helpful. I think we'll have that now all over the country and the world.
Mm-hmm.
Other countries are watching us like gangbusters, and they have their own nuclear reactors,
mm-hmm.
with which they've had difficulty.
Okay, how about at the county level? How did people respond
to that? I have a very biased point of view. You'll have to understand that. I never saw more people stay calmer, work harder, feel freer with the information. Whatever we had, we wanted people to know.
Mm-hmm.
I felt that in some respects we were in the same situation as all the fellows up the line from us, and could probably be viewed by some as flapping around unless we appeared authoritative, knowledgeable, willing to share, calm, and absolutely acting in the people's best interests.
Yeah. That says...
That's an art form.
Yeah, it's not only that, but it also says that the way you were behaving in the situation is informed by a very strong an ethical code.
I didn't think of it that way.
Well, the elements of how you should behave are all there.
It's combined and ethics and political philosophy, probably. Right.
What kinds of responsibility? Apart from information.
We discussed when, particularly my husband and I, Friday, naturally as a family, you're concerned for survival. What's going to happen in a meltdown? 90-mile radius is not far enough away. What we really decided was that because I do what I do and because we are what we are inside, we would probably be what people call bitter enders. Mm-hmm. And because of the, I don't know, maybe knowledge we have, we're pretty good organizers, both my husband and I. We just felt we should probably be among those who would help the last person get away.
Okay. So you felt a strong sense of responsibility
to
the larger
else.
Society and so forth, given your
yeah, we did.
And given your own ideas about
yeah. Our son agreed.
Mm-hmm. So then you never made any plans to leave?
No.
Did you ever think that?
If they had said meltdown was imminent.
Mm-hmm. That would have been your signal?
No. What we decided was to, if meltdown was imminent, we decided to tell our daughter in State College to go to Rochester, New York, which is where Grandpa lives.
Okay.
What we would have done would have been try to get... Zong, you want to... Okay.
Okay, you were talking about, you had lined out some things.
Right, okay.
Giving your daughter a message.
Right, off to Rochester. Then what we felt we would do... I had been previously assistant manager of Hampton Township. My husband is a social psychologist. Social psychologists deal with the impact of groups on individuals. His particular line of interest is in persuasion, okay, mob behavior. You can see why we felt we ought to hang around. And we felt we'd try to do the best we could to assist Hampton.
Mm-hmm.
In terms of the county's goals for Hampton, in terms of evacuating people.
And your son was in agreement with all this and so forth. Did you at any point feel any conflict between your responsibilities there and responsibilities here?
Yeah, as far as our family is concerned?
Mm-hmm.
Only in the sense that it flitted through my mind two or three times that at bedrock and, in quote, civilized people are not very often confronted with what I call bedrock kinds of things, the need for air, the need for food, the need for to survive.
Right.
And you began to wonder if you were one of those people who would not simply so others could. And if that would be really ultimately serve any purpose. But there are worse things than dying.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know, maybe we're kind of screwballs.
No. Did you imagine the worst that could happen over there?
Yes.
What did you imagine?
In case of meltdown, we knew that, you know, the mechanics of meltdown, okay? And that in terms of an explosion or anything like that, but this was not the case. It was simply a vast amount of radiation released in an uncontrollable fashion. And we knew the half-lives of the things that were likely to be released in meltdown. We knew the area of devastation and how it would affect people, plants, animals, as the distance. Oh, well, you know, everything within a very short radius would... That's it, they'd be gone, and in very short order. As you widen the circles out, there would be people with burns, with radiation sickness. A big chunk of central Pennsylvania simply would be not be habitable for a long, long time beyond my children and my children and my children's children. And so, yeah, we thought about it. I would say this, that my husband... stood more in the role of protector of the family those kind of comments came more often from him than from me.
Mm-hmm.
Which was a nice thing to hear and know,
mm-hmm.
because he's not terribly demonstrative.
Mm-hmm. But at this point, it was becoming demonstrative.
Yeah, and that was very nice. He may have been a little disappointed in me, in that that was not as forthcoming from me as it was from him.
Mm-hmm.
But then, it's funny, all kinds of things are intertwined, and yet I'm sure he felt that that was really his job. Although he had, I'm sure until this time, some quaint ideas that most nurturing comes from mommies.
Did you have any mental pictures of this going on?
No.
Did you associate it at any time with anything in your past experience?
No, it's rather difficult to... We had been in through physical disasters before. We were caught in a tornado in North Dakota in 1957, which was a very frightening experience. And you are aware, if you're in the Midwest, they are death-dealing storms. That's something you can see. The destruction is something you can deal with. Basement is a place you can hide. There was an awareness that with meltdown or simply uncontrolled releases of radiation, nothing you can get a handle on.
Couldn't see.
Unless you have the instruments.
Mm-hmm. Didn't know what was happening.
Well, you just simply must rely on technology to measure it for you rather than use your own senses.
Mm-hmm.
Our senses simply aren't calibrated to receive the information.
Would you judge then that this kind of a threat is more or less frightening than something like that?
I think it's more frightening to people. Everyone understands a cut on their forearm. It's more difficult to deal with an internal disorder. The tornado is like the cut on the forearm. You can deal with it. Radiation is like the internal disorder. You can't see it, but you can sure feel the effects of it after a while.
Did you associate it with any historical events?
Not particularly. I didn't think of it in terms of Hiroshima until this minute, until you asked me.
Do you think that anything that actually...
That may be a function of my age, too.
No, what do you mean?
Well, I was, I'm 42 now, so I was about 6 or 7 at that time.
When we dropped the bombs.
It probably had, my husband probably did. He's 10 years older than I am.
Mm-hmm.
I'm sure in terms of historical associations.
Might have been.
Right.
Did you think that anything that happened at TMI might have actually affected your health?
It could be. It could have affected my husband. He was on campus during the times of, now we found out the instruments went off the scale kind of thing. If that's so, then that's so.
Mm-hmm.
That's the way we both feel about it.
What sorts of effects might that
have? I think from what we know, you simply look down the road 20 years, 15, 20 years, and say, hey, there may be an increased chance that I'll develop leukemia, or lung cancer, or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
That's just what goes on, you know. I accept that. I think he does, too. There's not a damn thing we can do about it, except if something does develop, try to treat it when it happens.
Mm-hmm. Do you think it affected the event affected the community in other ways, yourself and the community?
Well, of course, you know, we were concerned about the economic impact, both immediate and long range, up here. And also, as far as our family was concerned, we were concerned that about the long-term effect on Penn State, on Capitol campus.
Mm-hmm.
Would people want their children to go to school anywhere near this?
Mm-hmm.
We were concerned in terms of what it might do to folks in terms of their attitudes toward technology now and in the future. Would they be mistrusting? There's a good bit of mistrust of government, in quotes anyway, and of officials. There are all kinds of ramifications that we felt that it had and would have. That's one reason why up here we were particularly concerned with whatever you do, you know, for God's sake, you can't give the appearance that you're holding back on the people. Even the appearance of that is going to cause people not to believe you when you really have something to say. And all we could do was share with them what the heck we had at the time in the least frightening terms possible, you know, and trust.
Would you say that your ordinary routines were affected by this?
In here or at home?
Here.
Absolutely. You bet.
Actually.
Sure.
What happened?
Everything else was put on the back burner and we concentrated on that. Almost solely. I'd say 90% of the effort.
What about our hours of work?
They didn't exist. We were around the clock.
We were just here all the time.
As long as, you know, the old bods would go in the... Right. Then we did go to... That was at first. We went to a shift situation. The problem is that there are... Some folks you feel are more vital than others, but they're human beings too. And they must sleep, and they must eat, or their judgment's going to be affected by fatigue. And you can't have that.
You came at this indirectly a little earlier, now I want to ask a good point. Did you ever, during all of this, think of your own death or the possibility of your own death? What did you think about that?
That's something, again, maybe this is the way I was raised. I accept death as a part of life. I intend to be a very old lady. And I guess I have a feeling of tough, sturdy stuff. My grandmother and grandfather are still alive at 96 and 94, sharp as tacks, been through a hellish lot. Never through radiation. But the possibility was there that I might die, and I accepted that. Again, part of it may be that among the humans on this earth, I have been most blessed in terms of luck, health, family, you know.
You thought about the possibility. Would you say that you, even when you thought about it, that in fact you mostly believed you would survive?
Yes, I did.
What reassured you?
That I would? Well, what has happened?
Stock and your background and so forth.
But the main factors that ensured me that I would probably live would be that I knew that as far as this country is concerned, once something like this was in motion, in other words, a major nuclear accident, the best damn brains and computers, not only in this country, but probably in others, were at work on it. And there was a, I guess, a fundamental belief that they are going to get a handle on it.
Okay. You felt that they, that the competence of those people was really engaged at that point, and that
yes,
they would be able to...
Right. That they might be puzzled, they might not know what the hell was going on, but that they would get a handle on it.
Did you think about God during the incident?
I don't remember.
Okay.
If I don't remember, probably not. You have to probe my religious beliefs a little on that. I don't see God as an interfering kind of being.
Okay.
Having once created things, I kind of feel that he gave them their own natural laws, set them in motion, and things developed from there.
So you did you pray?
I do every day. I view praying as sort of like an open telephone line. I dialed the number a long time ago, and I never hung up.
Okay. But this didn't particularly...
No, not in any more sense than... I don't know, I do some funny thing. I'm opening up to you like I really don't to most people. These are some very private feelings. I might just, I don't know, be driving along and see, I don't even know the name of the weed along the side of the road, but if it strikes me as beautiful, I might just say, hey, that's a nice thing. Once things got in motion, you know, I enjoy looking at it. It's good. Or a little private comment to myself and also on the open telephone line. I think I'm going to have the strength to get through this. I know you're up there somewhere. You may not be able to interfere, but at least you know. That's the kind of thing I do in my head.
So, you didn't see this message of some kind? Or...
No.
I'm going to be checking now because we've gone through a good bit.
Have we?
At any time during this, did you have anything that you might call daydreams that you might...
I don't daydream much. I'm pretty direct and matter of fact. Mm-hmm. Never did.
Any sleeping dreams that you can...
No, and that's something of, it's interesting that you would ask, because my husband and children report funny dreams all the time. The only dream I can remember in the last 2 or 3 years was just recently. It was funny. But not at that time. I usually go, it's probably a function of my working habits and my general eating, sleeping, you know, rhythm. But I keep long hours, and once I go to bed, I always view the bed as a place to zonk. And I sleep deeply. I need about 7 hours, and I wake up, and that's it. Occasionally, when I've really burned the candle at both ends, I will sleep like 14. But then I know it. My body gives me all kinds of signals. Leave me alone. Leave me in a bed. Draw down blinds and go away the world. That doesn't happen very often. Every 3 or 4 months. Depending on the workload and the pressures and this kind of thing. But no, I'm really not a remembering dreamer. I never have been.
Okay. Any disturbance in your sleep?
None. Just like I said, bed for me has always been you hit the pillow and you wink out.
Let me ask you to think about others for a little bit. Did people around you change during this?
Oh, there were some things I noticed. I took them as either exacerbations of already present personality traits or of heightening of latent ones, which I maybe caught glimpses of. There were some folks whose stamina, sturdiness, surprised me. I guess that would go with the latent things, but there are some I hadn't even noticed. In terms of irritability or something like that, I really didn't note that. I think I remember telling you that the nurturing kinds of concerns for the family came from my husband. And I became aware, even though my son was 16 and my daughter 19, and those are almost full-blown grown-ups, they still look to us for what do we do now. And although you feel no qualms at telling a six-year-old what to do, you do once they're that age. I felt an even heavier responsibility of what advice I was about to give them, and I know Jim did too. So, yeah, I did notice some changes.
Do you think it changed them in any lasting way?
I don't know. I haven't probed it. Well, heavenly days.
Right.
I don't know. I really haven't probed. I haven't thought about that much. I will, if you want to check back with me, I'll think about it.
Okay. What about you?
I don't know. I haven't thought about that either. I think a couple of things. I gained a little more self-confidence.
Did you?
Mm-hmm.
What do you think?
The feeling that an awful lot of people were depending on you. The relationship between Jake and Nelson and Ray and myself. They have always given me just a tremendous amount of leeway. The position of chief clerk varies in as many as there are counties, okay? In this county, in some places it's strictly a paper shuffler. You keep the minutes, you do the filing. It's kind of file clerk. They have given me the leeway of literally a fourth commissioner, and they do listen. They have never reacted to me as female or put me down in any way. That made me weigh my words when, you know, the tough decision kinds of times were going on. It made me aware that they do listen, really do listen. that gave me the self-confidence because I could see that they were really attending and that I felt I had to get your input and that it was worthy of consideration. It made me feel good.
Mm-hmm.
But I did feel the weight of the 170,000 citizens out there for the first time. I really did. The funny thing is, if it changed me in a lasting way, with the attitudes I have, okay, and the reason I'm here, and the reason I wanted this job, all right, or even got into it when I was back in Hamden Township, and again, it probably goes back to what we were talking about in terms of the ethical, political philosophy, religious kinds of things. There's a paradox involved in that the kinds of things I see that I want to do and the way I want to behave and the way I want the government to be not only behaving and doing but actually perceived as behaving and doing, I didn't feel about governments at a higher level.
Okay.
Now, some of that may have been a faint air of superiority because I felt we were doing such a good job.
Mm-hmm.
Some of it's undoubtedly bias and the things that you do to protect your own ego and the, you know, in terms of what you're involved in. The things you do have to be worthwhile, otherwise you lose worth to yourself. So it would be hard to sort out. But I did feel that I gained a little self-confidence. I think I became even more aware of, again, just the great good fortune we have had in our family so far. I'm probably a little more grateful for a lot of little things.
Mm-hmm.
They come across my open telephone line a little more often.
Mm-hmm.
That sounds corny, like, mm-hmm. Don't forget to smell roses. Mm-hmm. But that's really kind of, I guess, what's I haven't really probed around at it. I've been mm-hmm. thinking it, feeling it, doing it, being, rather than analyzing it.
Mm-hmm. I'm going to make a good shift here.
Irene. Whatever.
During the incident, did any books you had read, movies you had seen, television programs, did any of that occur to you?
Oh, sure. But then you're talking to an old science fiction book from when she was 8 years
old.
Can
you talk about that a little bit?
Sure. What do you want to know?
What occurred to you?
Oh, I guess I thought of On the Beach.
Did you?
Let's see. I did not see Hiroshima Mon Amour. But that flowed through. It did flow through. Okay? It's funny. It's the different questions elicit different memories. I guess I thought of my bent in science fiction. What I really enjoy most are some of Asimov's stuff. And I particularly thought of the Foundation trilogy.
Mm-hmm.
In terms of psychohistory,
mm-hmm.
how would we look back and how would social scientists look back and would they be able to sift and weigh? And I hoped that there were enough of them on hand, and here you are. Because some things are very hard to establish far into the future and looking back. And I just didn't know if we had enough talent around who would really home in on it. And that's about what I thought of.
Did you find yourself singing any songs?
I whistle and sing all the time.
But you don't recall clicking on any particular...
No. I do everything from 18th century, you know, Gregorian chant to the latest disco. I'm... I like music. I can't think of a thing. Maybe some other question will elicit something that I might...
Did you hear any jokes about radiation?
Oh, sure. There were all kinds of jokes.
Can you remember
any? I'm the world's poorest. That didn't change my habit at remembering jokes. It's one of those things, oh, my God, so-and-so told me a funny... I enjoy it at the time. I've never been a very good storyteller nor remembering. I'm an enjoyer of...
There was a fair amount of it, though.
Yeah. This is a... and I remember it you know, although I may not remember good punchlines or things like that, but I remember thinking when I would hear one, here's a way in which people deal with fear. They try to laugh at it. It's a little bit like whistling in the dark.
Mm-hmm. Did you see it coming from what you call... did some kinds of people tend to be joking more than other kinds of people?
Mm-hmm.
Can you tell me how you would...
The general office force up here tended to come up with those, repeat them, hear them more than... I think we did.
More than people who were working in three minutes.
Yeah, and I remember enjoying them, but I, you know, and they, where in the world do they hear it? I only hear jokes, except that they tell me. You know, and I don't think I've got a, you know, like a no sense of humor, but I'm not very good at inventing them.
Mm-hmm.
Or, but yeah, and it seemed to me that this is how people deal, one way that, in which they deal with fear.
Mm-hmm.
The jokes that were around in the administration, okay, we're not related to, but we do these kinds of things to each other all the time, in that we, there's kind of a general attitude, there's a, a fair amount of what I call self-deprecating humor.
Mm-hmm.
And the kinds of jokes I remember administratively were those which poked fun at ourselves and how we were dealing with things.
Okay.
And again, that's a way of dealing with fear. Are we adequate?
Sure.
Are we being adequate? Should all those folks out there really be depending on us?
Mm-hmm.
You know, that's spooky.
Mm-hmm. Yes, big sense of responsibility. And then, have you developed an opinion about nuclear energy? What we ought to do with it, about it?
Yeah, I see it as a useful form of energy. I am impressed with the technology of it. I think in some cases, we should have it. It should be part of our energy lexicon. Okay? I still am basically a believer in the scientific ability of this nation. What I really would like to see happen is to have leadership at the national level say, that's it. The equivalent of the Manhattan Project, of Kennedy's statement, we're going to put a man on the moon by the end of the decade, that this is it. We are now going to simply funnel energies, and we're going to find a synthetic fuel, period. And that is the goal for the next 5 years, and we are going to throw talent at it like gangbusters.
Mm-hmm.
I don't see that yet. I saw a suggestion the other day of Carter wanting to pool this idea. I have no objections to that. I think it would be a hellish thing to coordinate. I think it would be much easier to simply start it right here in this country. It fits with Carter's philosophy and as a citizen of the world idea. I don't object to it. I just see it as a terrible organizing task.
Mm-hmm. You mean worldwide?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I think if we hunt it,
mm-hmm.
and probably quicker than we think, 36 months maybe.
Has this taught us anything?
Pardon?
Has this taught us anything?
The whole thing?
Mm-hmm.
I think it's taught us a whole bunch of things about nuclear energy, the regulation of it, design factors in plants. It's simply going to be make us better at managing nuclear energy as part of our energy lexicon and make people more confident in the future that they can live near nuclear plants.
Mm-hmm.
That's the way I see it.
Mm-hmm.
If
do you think it'll help us make it safer then?
Oh, I do. Absolutely. I do think there were some things, because they've come out now, where some things were just kind of shoved under the rug, hidden, a few little inspections. Maybe somebody wasn't doing things quite right. Human beings are imperfect kinds of, we're all subject to all kinds of things. You know, differing pressures on different days. Some days we feel well, some days we don't. And what you have to do recognizing that is have your procedures such when you're dealing with a death-dealing phenomena that can bring great good to people, is you have to have your procedures such that it allows for all of those human factors and our fallibility as human beings. Mm-hmm. And the checkers checking on the checkers checking on the checkers. Mm-hmm. And I think we've learned that now. I do. So really, I guess I come away with it with more confidence that, okay, all of this has come to light and we've been through a harrowing time. I feel that we've escaped kind of by the hair of our chinny chin chins.
Mm-hmm.
And the lessons won't be forgotten at any level.
Is there anything else you'd like to say about that?
Yeah, I still think about the men and women and families of those who worked there during all this time.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, are they our energy martyrs?
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I feel for them. I admire them terrifically. In some cases, I think they were in the dark.
Mm-hmm.
And they coped as best they could. I really do feel that. The feelings of disgust I had at the flapping around. Again, you know, as I mentioned, some of the jokes that went around in terms of the self-deprecating humor, that happened to them too. That happened to the people who were working in the plant. They were coping the best they absolutely could. And if in some cases the judgments were shallow or faulty or misguided or whatever, that has all come to light too.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and... it's the most work can come, I think, of where error has been committed. Okay, whether by design, in terms of the plan itself, whether by management decision on the part of MedEd, NRC and not inspecting enough, wherever those errors have occurred. To me, and this is something I learned long, long ago as a kid, if you stub your toe, you admit it, but you don't do it twice.
Mm-hmm.
You know, nothing is ever, ever made better by lying about it.
So we need to know everything we can.
We need to know.
Mm-hmm.
And we need to face it.
Mm-hmm.
And I think, in large measure, that has now gone on. It's still going on.
Mm-hmm.
Part of the flapping may have been cover your rear end kind of thing.
Mm-hmm.
And I understand that, I guess, in a way I'm part of management with... of a large concern faced with, you know, the probability of lawsuits, and God knows there are now lawsuits, comes down to philosophy again.
Mm-hmm.
What is your real responsibility?
You think they're in control of that situation over there now?
Where, Peach Bottom or?
After
Three Mile Island?
Three Mile Island.
Better than before. Everybody has their intent up and quivering in.
Uh-huh. Anything else?
Can't
what did I miss?
Getting your leader fed in.
Mm-hmm.
It takes some time, I think, for people in an interview situation to loosen up, to warm up. I'm used to being interviewed. I also feel I'm probably maybe a little more open than some people because I'm used to being interviewed.
Mm-hmm.
There are probably some very private things I haven't told you.
Do you want to tell me?
I don't know.
Are you thinking particularly in terms of fears?
No.
How do I convince you that I'm trustworthy?
You have convinced me. There is a portion of me, though this is what I wanted you to understand. And I am like this with everyone. Dear friends, long friends, that will forever be a private island.
And you want to keep it
that way? Yeah, I do. Mm-hmm. It's maybe what you call a sense of self. In terms of fears, which you mentioned before, those were some of the private things. No, probably, I'll tell you the areas with which they would deal. Were love kinds of things mm-hmm. in terms of extended family.
Mm-hmm.
We didn't program those at all.
Mm-hmm.
Those will have to remain my private thoughts. Mm-hmm. And that's really about it. Those were some of the things I didn't get into with you. You're a good interviewer, by the way. Very good.
Thank you.
Lovely technique.
One thing I might ask you, did you hear from people outside the area? Since you come from away from here.
Yes. Oh, sure.
Did you?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Grandparents, parents, friends.
Mm-hmm.
And apparently, the farther away they were, the more dangerous it looked to them.
Mm-hmm.
They felt, their reaction to the media was very different from mine. They felt there was a lot of sensationalism. I got this from every phone call I had.
Mm-hmm.
And we tried to assure them that we didn't feel that was so, that there was a terrific attempt on the part of all media, radio, newspaper, TV, to simply convey information, or at least, mm-hmm. as I put it, put out a smorgasbord
mm-hmm.
For people. And that... But they felt that the screaming headlines were a bit much,
mm-hmm.
and it served to heighten their fears for us.
Mm-hmm.
So we were really in the role of soother
mm-hmm.
to all of them. And they would touch base every other day or so.
Mm-hmm.
There was only one instance of my mother urging us to leave,
mm-hmm.
and that was on Saturday. Mm-hmm. And... I have to admit, I fibbed to her. I told her that she need not worry, that survival of the children and ourselves would be paramount, and we had already decided that it was not. But
did that comfort her?
Yes, it did.
Well, thank you.
Sure.